Revelation chapter 12. We have been doing a study, I guess we'd call it, on the subject of angels. Doctrinally, that's called angelology. Yes, they actually have a word for it. Angelology, the study of angels. We looked at the first week, we looked at their creation. Angels are a special creation of God. They are not dead saints that become angels. All right, we're not going to be one day have a harp and sing in a heavenly choir of angels. The angels are a specific created group that were made before men and women were made. They were made back early in the book of Genesis before God made the earth as we know it now, the heavens and the earth and all those things. So these angels were a special group, and we looked at their creation. And again, they are full-size angels. All right, they're not little tiny things that float around or fly around. They are spiritual beings that look, when they appear, look just like physical beings, but they are not. And so we looked at their creation. A lot of information about that will not back up to all that. The second week, we looked at their count, how many there are. And in the Bible, angels appear sometimes singularly. Just one angel appears, Gabriel appears to Mary to announce the birth of Jesus, to Elizabeth to talk about John the Baptist. An angel appeared to Manoah back in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord. So singular appearances, there's times where two angels appeared together. There's times where four angels in the book of Revelation, holding back the winds and the waters and so forth like that. Then we read about many angels. We read in Revelation about 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. You say, how many is that? Well, Hebrews 12 says, an innumerable company of angels. So more angels than we can count. We don't have a number for it. I was, again, reading some stuff, and they were coming up. You know, we looked at it, that Jesus said that he could pray, and 12 legions of angels would deliver him from the crucifixion if he wanted it. And we looked at that and saw that's about 72,000. Somebody say it's 80,000 angels. So they estimate, but that's leaving out the thousands of thousands and the innumerable. So the number of angels is just more than we can number. All right, we don't know how many it is, but it's a whole lot. Now that's an important thing to consider as we go on to number three, the point of our study tonight. And this is talking about angels, is going to be their condemnation. Their condemnation. And we're going to look at something tonight that I believe is familiar to you, and yet at the same time might be some new information, kind of like a conspiracy theory kind of thing, if you're into that. But just some things we'll put together from the Word of God that give us a reflection of what happened. Not all the angels were condemned, and so you can rest at ease with that. I don't have to worry about that. But there is, related to these angels, there's something that happened. When we talked about their creation, we said that tells us where they came from. When we talked about their count, it tells us how many there are. And tonight, as we look at their condemnation, we're going to ask the question, what did some of them do? What did some of the angels do? And that's the condemnation that we're going to look at this evening. You're in Revelation chapter 12. Let's look down at verse number 7. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 7. We'll read verse 7, 8, and 9 as we begin tonight. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought, notice this, and his angels. Now, if you study the Bible, you know that this dragon is Satan. In fact, he's identified down here in verse 9. But the Bible tells us that he has angels. Now, he did not create angels. The devil's not able to create. So these are angels that God created that somehow are on the devil's side. And we're going to look at that this evening. Notice this. The dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. What I want you to notice in this verse is specifically two things. Number one, the devil has angels. Angels that he did not create, because he cannot create. Only God can create. But angels that somehow followed him And the Bible tells us that they were cast out, notice the verse number 9, into the earth. You know where that is, right? That's where we're at right now. That's talking about being cast out of heaven down to the earth. They are around right now. Some folks deny the reality of the devil, deny the reality of devils. Now, I'll just give you one of my pet peeves. I'm a fellow that doesn't use the word demons because I don't find it in my Bible. I understand a lot of folks use that terminology, and that's fine, but in the Bible, they're called devils. I think I wrote down the 9. 55 times, the Bible says, possessed of devils or cast out devils. That's to make sure we understand the connection between the two. And so, the devil has some angels that were kicked out with him. Keep your place in Revelation 12. I'm going to come back and look at another verse in a moment. But look back at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Verse number 41. There's a lot we can say about this verse, but I just want you to focus on one thing. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, this is the Lord speaking, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Notice, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago or so, I preached on a Sunday morning service. I preached about hell, the reality of hell. And it was created, the Bible tells us, for the devil and his angels. I want to emphasize this evening, his angels. The devil has followers. The devil has a certain group of angels that were created by God, but somehow are now associated with the devil and were with him cast out of heaven. Notice back in Revelation chapter 12. Now, Revelation chapter 12 is kind of tricky because as you're reading the book of Revelation, chapter 12 is in the middle of the book. It's talking about the tribulation period, and chapter 12 comes in the middle of that tribulation period. And yet it's making a reference to a previous time, I believe, because it says in verse number 7, there was war in heaven. I think John, when he writes Revelation 12, is looking back from that viewpoint as he's been taken up and God's showing him these things. He's looking way back in time to an early time where Satan rebelled against God, and he and those that followed him were expelled, kicked out of heaven. Keep your place again in Revelation 12. Go back to Isaiah chapter 14. This, I'm sure, is probably very familiar with to you. But Isaiah 14, at some point in time, the Bible tells us that Satan was kicked out of heaven and that there were angels that were kicked out with him to the earth. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven? That's pretty clear, isn't it? He was in heaven, but come down to the earth. Thou son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Isaiah is recording a period of time in which Lucifer was cast out of heaven. The reason was the great rebellion. He rebelled against God in heaven. He despised God. John 8:44 said he was a murderer from the beginning, the devil. Year of your father, the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. How is he a murderer? Well, 1 John tells us if we have spite or murder in our hearts, we're guilty of being a murderer. If we hate our brother, we're murderers. And the Bible tells us that Satan was a murderer from the beginning. In other words, he so despised God that he led a rebellion trying to overthrow the throne of God. Can you imagine that? How ridiculous that sounds, but he thought he could do that. Lucifer, son of the morning, one of the five cherubims that surrounded the throne of God. In fact, the Bible tells us that Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covereth. Those four in Revelation 4 that stand around the throne of God, and then at one time Satan was above the throne of God. The Bible talks about in Ezekiel, I think it is, about his tabrets and musical ability. We say sometimes he was the choir director in heaven, leading the praise to God. But one day, as it were, said, you know what? I can get them to praise me just as well as I can praise God. And he led a rebellion, and angels followed him. We won't turn to it, but you might want to write down next to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, because that same story is recorded in Ezekiel 28. That's easy to remember, 14 and 28, all right, 14 times 2. So Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, both tell us the same story about Satan's expulsion from heaven. Now look at Luke chapter 10. I know I'm giving you a lot of verses tonight, but I'd rather just use the verses than tell the story, so as it were. But Luke chapter 10, notice what the Lord Jesus said here. Luke chapter 10, we'll begin in verse 17. We're going to focus on verse 18. But in Luke 10, the Lord had sent out His disciples two by two into all the towns and villages. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, this is verse 17, Lord, even the devils, see there's where I like the word, not demons, but devils, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld, past tense, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. All right, so we've got a clear picture. All of these verses tell us the same thing. There was a time when Satan fell from heaven, when he was cast out, and his angels with him. And so hell was created specifically for them. It said in Isaiah 14, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So God expelled them from heaven. Right now they're down here on earth. Their eternal destiny is going to be the lake of fire, going to be hell, but they're not there yet. As we read the New Testament, they're all over the place. A legion of them is cast out of the maniac of Gadara into a herd of swine that jump off the cliff into the water. They were around in Jesus' day. They're around today. And so they are down here on earth waiting till final judgment when they are going to be cast into hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. So we get the picture of what's going on. And Jesus says, I beheld them. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Go back to Revelation 12 now, if you would. So how many angels? We talked about how many angels there are. There's a multitude. Probably there's millions, possibly billions, an innumerable company. We can't number them. So out of that number, how many of them followed Satan in the rebellion and got cast out down to the earth? Revelation chapter 12, verse number 1. We're in the same context of verse 7 to 9 where we read. But in Revelation 12 and verse 1, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, she being with child. We don't have time to go through this whole thing, but that woman in heaven is talking about the nation of Israel. She being with child is talked about the birth of the Savior. She being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. Again, that dragon is described in verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So verse 3, we know who that dragon is. Verse 10, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So putting these things, putting this sketch together, because that's what it is, we're sketching it out. We might get to heaven and find out, Lord will tell us, here's really what I was telling you. But the way we put it together, the way it looks like, is that when Satan was cast out of heaven, he had deceived 1/3 of the angels that were up there. Out of how many? Millions? Billions? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But 1/3 of those angels were cast out with him down here to the earth. Don't you think that's scary? To think that many of those fallen angels are down here occupying the earth, knowing they're eventually going to end up being locked away and put in hell, but right now they're free to roam. Some folks read the Gospels and think, well, that's a different time and a different thing, and the devils are not around. No, they're around. They're just tricky at disguising themselves. You go into some third world countries where witchcraft and sorcery is highly practiced, and I've been there and I've seen that kind of thing, and the devils are very prominent. We come here to our cultured United States of America, and the devils are maybe a little more cultured. They know how to adapt to their situation, and they don't react like they did back then, or in those different countries that places are like that now. But they're very much active right now. They're blinding the eyes of those that don't believe. In the Bible, what did these fallen angels do? These devils, what did they do? Well, they entered into humans, and they entered into animals. We read many in the New Testament that are possessed of devils. I think I've met some of those in my lifetime, and I don't mean that jokingly or facetiously. I'm not relating, but I'm saying I think I've met some people that were really full of the devil. And to be full of the devil, you don't have to be mean and nasty. Now, the maniac of Gadara obviously was, but to be full of the devil, you could be nice, but then still be full of the devil. A lot of those that are preaching a false gospel, the Bible says Satan appears as an angel of light. And a lot of folks behind pulpits that the devil is using to tell them they can work their way to heaven. They can get there through baptism or some other sign or wonder or something like that. So the devils are still around. They can possess humans and animals. I give you this assurance, as I see it in the Word of God, they cannot possess a believer in Jesus Christ. They can oppress us, and that oppression can be pretty heavy sometimes. You can feel the devil's oppression. Job knew what it was all about. But the devil cannot possess us. We already belong to somebody else. And so he can possess human beings. When he did in the Bible, when he possessed them, they had evidence of mental disorder. Again, that maniac of Gadara in Matthew 17, in the tombs, yelling and screaming at night. The Bible says they tried to bind him and they couldn't bind him. He'd break everything that they did with that. And after Jesus healed him and cast the devils out, the Bible said he was sitting clothed and in his right mind. Now, I'm not suggesting, please don't misunderstand me, that anybody that has a mental imbalance, a mental thing, is devil-possessed. I'm not saying that. But that is the cause for a lot of it. That is the cause in the Bible. He gave mental disorders. He gave physical infirmities, did he not? Some were blind and had to have the devil cast out. Some were deaf, had to have the devils cast out. Jesus cast them out, and when they did, they could hear again. So it causes mental disorder, it causes physical infirmities, and it causes erratic behavior. In Matthew chapter 17, before the story, when Peter, James, and John went up to the mountain, saw the Lord transfigured before them, they came down to the foot of the mountain, and a man met the disciples down there who had a son. The Bible says, my son is a lunatic. That's a mental disorder. A lunatic. And the Bible says that sometimes he jumps into the fire and sometimes he jumps into the water. He could not control his physical actions. He was possessed of the devil. Jesus cast that devil out. So these one-third of these creatures that were cast down to heaven are very much alive and working right now. I believe, and I know this, if we could see them, it would scare us to death. Now, I don't think they're in here right now, because when we start singing our songs, this is why we sing hymns at the beginning of a church service. The devil can't stand praise to God. All right, he at one time led that. Now he's been kicked out. He wanted the praise to himself. When we start singing these hymns, he has to run for it. I'm convinced that many churches today that have gotten away from the hymns, the devil's perfectly comfortable in that church auditorium with the music they're singing and the style they're singing. But when we open that hymn book and start singing songs, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The devil says, I think I'll come back later. So they are around. They are here. He's trying to pluck the seed from those that hear the Word of God. He's very much active. These devils are around. All right. Look back, if you would, then, at Job chapter 4. Job chapter 4. A couple more verses along this line, and then we'll look at something else related to them. Job chapter 4. Job chapter 4, just one phrase I want you to notice, verse 18. Job 4:18, behold, he put no trust in his servants, notice this, and his angels he charged with folly. That is those angels that followed Satan in that rebellion. One third of them cast out. They were charged with folly. The angels that sinned, the Bible calls them, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But these angels were cast out of heaven. One more verse, look at in this line, not the last verse for tonight, but one more verse, look at Romans 8. Here's how dastardly these fallen angels are. They cannot be redeemed. They cannot straighten out what they've done. They have been cast out of heaven, cast down to the earth. I jokingly say this, Nani, make sure you understand, I'm joking when I say this. I walk into someone's house and they got all these little angels, cute little angel things on there, and they say, what do you think of my angels? And I want to say, are these the good angels or the evil angels? Are these the good ones or the fallen ones? I can't tell by looking at them because they're all going to look alike. And you can't tell them apart, but one third of them. If you've got three on your counter or three on your stand, one out of those three is a bad one. I'm joking when I say that, but Romans chapter 8, notice how dastardly these fallen angels are. Paul had to say it this way in giving the assurance of our salvation. He said in verse 38, you know it's verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 38, for I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, you remember those phrases from Ephesians chapter 6? Principalities and powers, these are not talking about governors and presidents and things like that, but spiritual wickedness in high places, and it includes angels. That even angels cannot separate us from the love of God. Well, why would angels want to? Well, there's one third of them that would like to. Those that followed Satan in the rebellion were cast out of heaven, down here to the earth. So these angels, they're condemned nation. Now, within those one third of the angels, and here we go. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I hope I've established, or at least the best of my understanding, using those scriptures, that there was a time in the past where Satan led a rebellion against God, Lucifer did, was cast out of heaven. One third of the angels, his tail drew with him, cast down to the earth. So they're down here free to roam around. All those angels are devils interfering with the activities of men. But 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. Now I think this is different from the one-third that were cast out of heaven. The one-third that were cast out of heaven were cast out because they followed Satan in the rebellion. But this says there were angels that sinned. Out of that one-third of the angels, there was a group of them that were different from the other two-thirds of the one-third. And these sinned. How do we know that? Well, because look at verse 4. But cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. These angels were not simply cast out of heaven down to earth. They came down to earth and then they sinned and were cast down into darkness. They're already there. This is a group within that one third, but a group within them that while down here on earth did something, they sinned, and God took those and cast them prematurely, as it were, down into hell. The others are still free to roam around. They're down here now. But this group of angels sinned and were cast out of the earth, down, reserved in chains of darkness unto judgment. All right, have I made that as clear as mud? Of the one third that were cast out of heaven, now there's a group within them, we don't know how many, that sinned somehow, sometime, and God judged them immediately instead of allowing them to stay on earth. to be cast into hell later. He said, that's enough. You're going down there now. And he put them in there when they sinned. Well, when was that? That's a good question, isn't it? What was it they did that caused them to be cast into hell prematurely? Well, notice verse 5. I think it gives us a timetable. It says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. That gives us kind of a timetable to look at. If we're looking for when these angels sinned, the Bible's telling us it's back during the time of Noah. Because it's connected to that time period, verse number 5. And spared not. In fact, right after that, he talks about Noah. So what happened right before Noah that could possibly be the time when the angels sinned? Well, to find that answer, we'd have to go back to Genesis 6, wouldn't we? So let's go back there. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to blow your socks off now, I know. You're going to say, are you serious, Pastor? I'm not telling you if I'm serious or not. I'll give you the sketch. Genesis chapter 6. All right, verse 8. You know the verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's a good song. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I like that song. That's verse number 8. So what happened right before verse number 8? Well, verse number 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And what was the result of that? When the sons of God took the daughters of men, what did God say? My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That's an unusual continuation of a thought. That when the sons of God went into the daughters of men, God said, my spirit shall not... So whatever happened in verse number 2 displeased God heavily when the sons of God saw the daughters of men. The Bible says the result of that, verse number 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. Now, some have claimed that that's talking about dinosaurs, and that's a whole other can of worms I'm not going to open today. But that's not talking about dinosaurs. Because it goes on to say, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. We think of Goliath and his brothers and his sons and the other giants in the Bible. The Bible tells us there was a time where the sons of God and the daughters of men got together. And as they begin to populate and replenish the earth, as it were, God was so displeased with them, and what happened was unnatural. They began to produce giants, oversized men and women. As a result of that union between the sons of God and the daughters of men. Now, about half the commentators... And really, about half of them say that the sons of God there are the godly line of Seth. We read about Adam's genealogy in chapter 5. And they say, this is the first time the phrase sons of God is used chronologically starting in Genesis. So they say the sons of God are the sons of Seth. And it displeased God that the sons of Seth went and married the sons of Cain, as it were. And that that displeased God. But it created some oversized creatures. And it so displeased God that he said, that's it, 120 years and this is all over. I'm going to wipe this out. Seems like there's something a little more drastic than just believers marrying unbelievers. So let's look for sons of God. And we did this kind of the first study. Let's look for sons of God and identify them. Sons of God is used in verse 2. It's used again in verse number 4. It's used only 3 more times in the Old Testament. And let me take you there. The book of Job, chapter 1. The book of Job, chapter 1. Job chapter 1 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Here's the sons of God. Now if you read the passage, and the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered, said, "From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." This scene is not taking place on earth. This scene's taking place in heaven. And the sons of God are there, with Satan also among them. Now before his fall, he wasn't called Satan, he was called Lucifer. We associate that as being a negative name, but it actually was a positive name. It illustrated his beauty, the way that God created him. Son of the morning, he's called. But after his fall, he's called Satan. So now here's Satan among the sons of God, a heavenly scene, not the godly line of Seth, not the ancestors of Seth, but somebody in heaven. Chapter 2, verse 1. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord." Here's a group of sons of God that are required to check in with God every once in a while. Isn't that interesting? They're required to check in with God. I wonder what they did that would require that. Look at Job 38. Job chapter 38. And again, we looked at this about the creation of angels a couple weeks ago. Job chapter 38. And verse number 7. Well, verse 1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, saying, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" All right, you got the time setting. "Declare if thou hast understanding. Who laid the measures thereof if thou knowest?" He's saying to Elihu, kind of, because that's who was speaking. And then Job also. You think you're so smart. "Where were you when I created the earth? Who laid the measure thereof if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Where are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof?" Notice this. "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." The sons of God were created beings in heaven before creation. Before the creation of the earth. That's Job chapter 38. When God is creating it, they're already there. They're shouting for joy. That's who the sons of God are. They're angels. But in Genesis chapter 6, they're the ones that have been cast out of heaven. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And they took them wives. Somebody says, well, the Bible said that the angels in heaven are neither married or given in marriage. Jesus said that in Matthew. But it did say the angels in heaven. Angels are not in heaven. They've been cast out. They're down here on the earth. They cohabitated, as it were, with women and produced giants in those days that God sent a flood because of this ungodly angels that sin thing that happened in Genesis chapter 6. You know, there have been movies made like that. I remember 20, 30 years ago, there was a movie on TV called The V. And it was about these strangers that came into this town, and they were all good-looking people. They're all men, but they're all good-looking men. And they came in and they were able to help this town through disasters and get them through difficult times. And they started just befriending everybody and everybody loved them and trusted them. And in the movie, it was a science fiction movie, of course, but in the movie they showed these guys when they go back to their own places at night, when they go into the old things, they would take their human mask off and then reach into the cage and start eating the rats and stuff like that. They were supernatural, wicked, ungodly characters. And I didn't watch all of it, but I watched enough to say, they stole that from the Bible. Because one of the girls ends up being pregnant with a child, and it's from one of these things. And after they discover who they really were, now this child's there. And I think the movie ended like that. Like, they got rid of all these bad guys, but this woman's pregnant. It was from one of them, and nobody knows it. But it was basically this story the way it looks like the Bible presents it. That these angels, one third that were kicked out, and within them was a group that cohabitated with women, and God got so upset that in the days of Noah, those days, he cast them straight down to hell, into chains of everlasting darkness, while the others are still free to roam around and possess people and do those different things. One more verse, Jude. The book of Jude right before Revelation. I know what's going on right now. Your head is spinning like a top. And I understand it. Write all the verses down. Go back and look at them later. Jude verse 6. A lot of things, you know, we're saying, here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like the Bible is telling us. And this is the way it looks. Jude verse 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Now again, I don't think this is talking about that whole one-third of the angels, because they were cast down to the earth. But some of the angels were cast all the way down to hell. And if we're stretching it by talking about Genesis 6 and those sons of God, which again, half the commentators say it's the godly line of Seth, half the commentators say it's the angels that sin, so choose sides. All right, this is not a key doctrine of the Bible. You can sit on this side or that side. No, it doesn't matter. But here's what it says. What is connected to that? Verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what happened there, right? Well, the Bible tells us. And the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. Isn't it interesting that verse 6 is connected to verse 7? That these angels that are cast away and locked away in hell, reserved unto judgment, are connected to a story about those that went after strange flesh. So they're angels, their condemnation. Praise the Lord, two-thirds of them stayed clean. They are good. They are good angels. One-third of them were evil. Out of those one-third, many of them, we have no idea how many that happened in Acts chapter 6, or Genesis 6, but out of those, some of them committed an atrocious sin that God was so displeased with and angry with that He immediately cast them straight down into that hell that the others will go to eventually. So that's what happened to those one-third of the angels. Next week, be happy. We're going to look at the other two-thirds. We know what the one-thirds do, and one-third, and part of the one-third did. Next week, we'll look at what the other two-thirds of the angels do. Isn't it interesting? What's two-thirds in a decimal? 0.666. Yeah, isn't that scary? All right, let's not talk about that. All right, let's stand together this evening.